the whole time all by herself. She's growing up too fast. I'm sorry for doing this, but I'm actually going to take a seat. And I hope that is, I asked for permission for that. And I hope that is okay, just in case. I could feel it, but it's not that bad. If I do, then you're going to come up, right? Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher, and you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Did you guys notice the title? WWJD, what does it stand for? What would Jesus do? Okay, good. That's what we're going to talk about today. What would Jesus do? As you may have noticed, our scripture reading skips over a couple of verses between verses 1 and 7. It is because that is our lectionary text. But to have a better understanding of the context of Scripture, I want to share with you what happens between those verses. It says, just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? Sound familiar? But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, if one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day? And they could not reply to this. And then he goes on to the discourse of noticing the guests and the seats and humility and hospitality. But Jesus heals on the Sabbath day again. I mean, when would he realize that people don't like that, right? Why does he keep doing that when he knows that people don't like that? Or should it be the other way around? And ask, when will the Pharisees and the teachers of the law soften their hearts and celebrate and actually see how wonderful, a wonderful thing that has taken place right before their eyes, healing this man and setting him free, is salvation, a true salvation for this person who suffered from dropsy on Sabbath. That this person that Jesus heals is as important as their children and as their oxes that have fallen into a well. When will they see? When will they soften their hearts? And despite the lack of response from the crowd, he goes on to teach some more based on his observation. He taught the importance of humility and hospitality. First, he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor when they were entering. In Jesus' day, seating arrangements at meals reflected their social status. The best seats were for the most important people, or for everyone to notice how important they were in their community. Now, based on our scripture this morning, I'm going to ask you, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus fight for those best seats as well, like the others? Probably not. Right? Because why? Because our scripture this morning teaches that people to sit down at the lowest places, unless the host tell you otherwise. Now, I want to be clear. Jesus is not encouraging people to manipulate others by showing fake humbleness. You know how people can do that sometimes? Oh, no, I'm not worthy. When in their minds, they know that they are worthy. Humbleness also does not mean to degrade or to look down on yourself. Doesn't mean that I'm the worst and everyone's better than me. I don't deserve this. No, that's unhealthy. That's toxic. So what is he saying? What Jesus is teaching here is that when you come into a room to simply view others as important as yourself. Does that make sense? Look around this room. Who is important? Are you more important than the one who is sitting next to you? Don't answer that, Chris. I like to tease it. But look around you. Do you feel less of a person than the ones who are sitting behind you? Is that why all our holy people are over here? Is that the holy seat? Is that what that means? So what does this make? What does the left side do? Or is it the other way around? They just can't wait to leave when the service is over. Yeah, closer to the door. What Jesus is teaching us here is when you come into a room to simply view others as important as yourself, Don't degrade yourself, but don't also think you're better than anybody else. And the second teaching is about hospitality, that actually coincides with the first, which is that to show hospitality, not only to your friends or people who can repay you back, but also to the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. To those communities, to those who their communities at the time deemed as lesser people. What Jesus was teaching is that all are deserving of one's hospitality, whether they could repay the favor or not, because their importance or worth does not come from their ability to repay or not. That their importance and their worth as a person is not defined by their class, their disabilities, but simply because they are all God's children who are also in need of God's love. Does that make sense? Do we believe that all people are God's children? If so, who is worthy of your time? Who is worthy of our time? Who is worthy to sit at our table? Who is worthy to hang out with us? And again, I'm preaching to myself. I was repenting when I read these words. While the host, the leader of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, only invited those who were acceptable in his judgment and eyes, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He invited everyone, because in Jesus' eyes, everyone was important. And whereas the teachers of the law and we as a society struggle with this, Jesus does not and is able to see this, because his hope is found not on earth, but in the kingdom of God. He knew that he didn't have to prove, that Jesus didn't have to prove his importance, and that his self-worth wasn't defined by where he sat in the social gatherings or who he surrounded himself with, because he already knew that he was a child of God, and he knew that everyone else was as important, because he knew how much God loved them. Because he died, we know this, because he died for not only the righteous, but for who? The sinners. But all of these things, with seats, and inviting only the important people, and all the different things that excluded people and divided people were happening, because they didn't know just how important they already were in God's kingdom. Think about it. Why the need to sit at the place of honor? And why surround yourself with important people? Who were they really trying to prove? The people around them? Or was it they themselves? They didn't know who they were in heaven, or who they were going to be in eternity. So they sought importance, their self-worth, and earthly rewards. Think about it. If they knew that they were so important, why would they need seats to show that? Why would they need to surround themselves with important people to prove that? They didn't know. And in their obsession of wanting to feel important and exalting themselves, they failed to see the importance of others, people who were different from them, who were from different class, different life circumstances. Because that's what happened, right? In order for somebody to be important in this world, there has to be somebody who is lesser, right? That's how it works. If everyone's important, well, then you're not that important. So they create this system that shows how important they are. And neglect people who are not like them. Is that what the kingdom of God will look like too, you think? So Jesus ends his discourse with another story, which also is not in our reading this morning, but comes right after. With a story about a master, he sends his slave to say to those who have been invited to his party to come, food is ready. But those who were invited failed to respond to the invitation because they had other obligations. They said, oh, I have this piece of land that I gotta check out, so I can't make it to the party. I just got married. I can't make it to the party. I got this thing going on in my own personal life, so I can't make it to the party. Essentially, those who were invited thought that things that were going on in their lives were more important than the master's invitation. And so the owner, the master, gets angry and instead invites everyone else in the town, all those who would attend, even those who their communities have deemed as undesirables, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Extending invitation to everyone who want to come and join the great dinner. And Jesus says, for I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. And that's how he ends the story. And this is exactly what God does through Jesus Christ, doesn't he? Those who rejected his invitation ultimately kills him. But through his death, through his blood, we are all welcome to the kingdom of God today. Do you see it? Do you know who you are in the story? We are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, the undesirables that the Master invites. Unless you're an Israelite. Anyone an Israelite here? Okay, no, so we are all Gentiles here. So Jesus now invites us to do the same. To walk humbly and to show hospitality. To see people for who they are. People who are invited just as we have been invited. I'll end with this. Whether we accept this or not, the end result will be the same. God is going to invite and welcome people who accept the invitation to live and follow Christ, just as God welcomed us. And at the end of the day, the only ones who will not be at the final banquet are those who refused this invitation to follow and to live like Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.